Welcome to episode 151 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live from Microsoft Ignite 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. This week, Ben interviewed Gagan and Adam about Azure Information Protection in Microsoft 365 in an attempt to clear up some confusion around this topic. Hopefully, it helps you as much as it helped him. This is Ben. I am sitting down for another interview at Microsoft Ignite, and I have Gagan here, and I have Adam. And rather than me trying to introduce you, why don't you guys just go ahead and give us a little bit about who you are, what do you do for Microsoft, and then we'll dive into an interview kind of talking about Azure Information Protection, something we dove into recently, and we got you guys cornered now, so we can get it straight from you guys. So, Gagan, why don't we start with you? Give us a little bit about who you are.
Sure. My name is Gagan Gulati. I'm the Director of Program Manager for Information Protection at Microsoft. If you see, I deliberately didn't say Azure Information Protection, and we'll walk you through why I said
that. All right.
Yeah. My name is Adam Hall. I am previously from the Azure Information Protection engineering team. I now lead the Microsoft 365 security product marketing team across all of the security assets that come from the M365 world.
Perfect. So one thing we kind of talked about a little bit before we started recording is, when we went through it, we had this whole acronym soup and all these different, it feels like all these different names that these various products have had, and kind of like you referred to, you intentionally left off Azure Information Protection. So what's kind of the history? How did we get from where we were back when it started to where we are today? Because I think that's probably where a lot of these different acronyms and names have actually come from and evolved over the course of time.
That's correct. So look, it all started back in, before I joined this team, back in 2005, 2006 timeframe, where the world moved towards this idea of encryption and rights management. It didn't work very well, I want to be clear with you, till like 2014 and 2015. But this world was all about rights management. A lot of companies, including Microsoft, Oracle, Adobe, dabbled their hands into IRM, which is the other way to call rights management. And a lot of companies also did this thing called DLP, data loss prevention products. So these two should have worked together, but they never worked together. But at Microsoft, we built this product called ADRMS, the Active Directory Rights Management Services. It's basically a server that you can put in place, and then you can make clients talk to the server to get rights management working. So that was up to 2013, I guess, right? And then we came to this cloud world, as you know, of Office 365, and we started building this service called Azure RMS, which is basically a replica of ADRMS.
Okay.
Right? The idea that, so the manifestation of this typically is that Ben wants to send Gagan a do not forward email, and he can click a button in Outlook, and the email comes to me, and when I open it, if I am Gagan, I can open it. If I'm not, then I won't be able to open it, and I can't forward it around. Similarly, if you send it to Adam, Adam will not be able to open it because it was only meant for Gagan. Right? So that's the basis of rights management as we know it. Now, so as I said, the client side of it was always known as IRM.
Okay.
Okay, as you built it into Office apps everywhere.
I know, like in SharePoint, because I came from a SharePoint background, and in SharePoint, all the all the library settings, I think, are still called IRM.
They still say IRM.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So this encryption and rights management thing, it percolates everywhere, whether it's in Exchange, in SharePoint, in Office apps, wherever you go, up to 2013, 2014. And if you see it in the online world of Office 65, it's because we just made a replica of whatever was on-prem.
Okay.
Because SharePoint on-prem had IRM, SharePoint Online has IRM. Because Exchange had IRM, Exchange Online has IRM. But the important point was that we created this Azure RMS service that worked with all the Office clients.
Okay.
Like Office Pro Plus apps and others, and also with SharePoint Online and Exchange Online. Now, one would argue, why did we call it Azure RMS and not like Office 65 RMS, mm-hmm. right? And the reason behind that was always that we have this belief that rights management and labeling and everything else is not just meant for to be in Office world. It is meant for everything else as well. When you talk about PDFs or you talk about Autodesk, or you talk about building, God knows, in Box one day, right? It doesn't matter. An important point is that it has to be a platform that works everywhere. And Office, now our Office 65 suite of products are one of the products that can utilize the rights management offer. So that's why it continued to be called Azure RMS instead of calling it Office 65 RMS. And when we built RMS, one of the biggest questions that a customer asked us, we asked them the question, why don't you go encrypt your data now? And they said, I don't know what to encrypt. What should I encrypt? What's sensitive? I don't know. So okay. You can help me with that.
Because that's what RMS really is, right? It's data encryption, because the RMS travels with the document, based on my understanding. It's essentially a document encryption that's reaching back out to servers to validate what you can or can't do with that individual document, email, or file.
Think of it as a wrapper.
Okay.
You know, you've got an email, you've got which is a message file, you've got a document, a docx file. The rights management is quite literally a wrapper around the outside that when you double click on it or you try and open it, the first thing that happens is says, are you allowed to look at this? On the assumption you are allowed to look at it, it then says, well, what are you allowed to do with it?
Okay.
And so you get this authentication followed by an authorization. And so I send you a document or an email that says do not forward. It first verifies that you are who you say you are. Mm-hmm. Then, great. Then you get in. It's like, what do we turn off? Now, to your point earlier around the user side of it, that is inherently user-facing, and it needs to have applications that respect it. So, you know, back in that point in time, if you sent a protected mail outside of the Microsoft world, it simply wasn't readable. You couldn't open it in another mail client. You couldn't open it in Hotmail or Gmail or whatever it was available at the time. And you needed something that would be like, oh, I know what to do with this. How do I decrypt it? Do I know the algorithm? Or do I know how to read the certificate? Like, how does that work?
Yep.
And so those are the challenges that we had back at that point in time. And it literally was Windows and Office talking to Exchange and SharePoint with Office documents. That was the sum total of the scope we had back at that point in time. That was it.
Yeah. So those were the interesting times, I should say. So two big things, as Adam mentioned. One, this idea that when we went to customers and said, go encrypt your data, protect your data, and they said, what do you want me to protect? I have no idea what I've got. And so that was point one. And the point two was, I could still protect things for within my company, but what if ever a document was to leave outside the company? Secure collaboration has to work. So those were the two big journeys we started. For the first one, we acquired a company called Secure Islands, who had been our partner for many, many years. And this company had focused on the idea of data classification and data labeling.
All right.
So we acquired them 4 years ago now.
2015.
All right, okay.
And these guys had mastered this technique of applying labels to a file. So to the point, not only would the protection stay with the file, but also the labels will stay with the file.
Got it.
So wherever the file goes, you will know that this data is confidential or it's not confidential. So that we acquired the company, and we spent almost a year, and I think by Ignite 2015.
That was Chicago, yeah, Chicago, Atlanta, one of those.
I think it was Atlanta.
Okay.
Ignite Atlanta.
Yeah.
We ended up declaring the public preview of our first AIP client. And that's when this whole term around AIP came in, Azure Information Protection.
Okay.
Everyone on your team is unique. So is SkillMeUp.com. Only SkillMeUp provides the bridge from fundamentals to certification paths to advanced skills to accelerate digital transformation with one subscription and five ways to learn. Start your free pilot today and supercharge your IT and Microsoft Azure skills by visiting skillmeup.com/pilot or click the link in the show notes below.
So that kind of started taking, that's when you added the labels in. So the rights management service was the encryption. AIP was, let's start adding labels into the rights management service.
It's that concept of the label is very literally a piece of metadata on the asset. And so if you look at it in a file viewer or something, you'll see that there's a custom label. The label is a piece of metadata on a document, on a message file. And that's that, how interesting is that piece of information? Like an email from Satya to Scott Goo, that's probably more interesting than an email between me and Gagan about what we're going to have for lunch, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like not all information is equivalent. And so you don't need to encrypt everything. You do need to encrypt things that matter. Yeah. And the label, as it follows around, to Gagan's point, was what if as an email flowed through Exchange or as a document traveled somewhere, if the system could read that piece of metadata and go, oh, this is quite interesting, then you can start to apply rules to that. Highly confidential to Microsoft internal, that content should never leave our premises, like block it on the way out.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, it's generally not really interesting, sure, let that go.
That's a very good way of what Adam said. When we shipped AIP client, the client that you can put on your Office app today and add in.
Mm-hmm.
We realized that every customer we talked to over the last probably a dozen years had built this idea of a classification taxonomy on what they would classify documents as internally.
Okay.
And once in a year, once in 6 months, they'll go train the users and say, please use that. But there was no way to do this. What we thought of as, you know, a good feature, we realized that it's actually a great feature. Because if without what we have built, if you were to go add the metadata into a file to say this is confidential and you had to go create your own headers and footers and watermark, you and I will never do it.
Right.
Right. It is just not, it's just not in our DNA as productivity, you know, users. So we had to bring two changes to the way our customers think about classification of data and labeling of data. One, of course, was the technology. This idea that AIP client can apply labels to a file and therefore can add metadata, headers, footers, watermarks, encryption as an entity. But more importantly, a change in the thought process, right, on how they should think about classification taxonomy and how should they apply it. So yeah, so coming back, the first big product was AIP client that we shipped, and there was a way to go configure these labels and the way to apply this client, deploy this client, I should say, on a bunch of Windows. And
okay.
This was the time Adam was leading the deployment effort for us for AIP.
Okay, because the AIP client then is something that you actually installed on all the end users' computers to... Did that help facilitate then opening files, knowing how to decrypt them? Or kind of what was that interaction then like between that AIP client, and I think that still exists today, is there's still an AIP client versus the labeling and the cloud services that are part of the O365 and 365?
So the way you should look at this is the following. Office apps have integrated our what we call as rights management SDK.
Okay.
Right? So you could go to an Office app and natively say, do not forward an email or protect this document with this template and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever it has to do that, the SDK talks back to the service.
Okay.
Okay? To the rights management service. When you talk about AIP client, essentially it was an add-in put on top. It also had an SDK that would understand all the labels. So it'll bring the labels back from the service depending on who you are. And this SDK will apply the labels to the actual file, wherever the file label need to be put in. And it therefore has a connection back to the service. So now we had two services, the labeling service and mm-hmm. the encryption service.
Okay.
And together, both of them is what we basically called as AIP, the Azure Information Protection product.
Okay.
And there was a way to manage them through the portal, there's an admin console. And the manifestation of that on the user side was that we gave you an AIP client that you could deploy on every user box, like you said, and encryption was just built in. So we just need to invoke the encryption whenever it had to. But that's where we made a bunch big change. While IRM was embedded everywhere as a technology and as a product,
mm-hmm.
and Azure RMS was the name of the service as well and the product, we made a change such that we don't call out rights management or RMS as a service anymore. And we will call the new product that we just built as Azure Information Protection or AIP.
Okay.
And it wasn't just a shift in naming. It was actually, I would consider it a shift in philosophy and strategy, where instead of saying, oh, you can apply a label and then separately, do you want to encrypt and apply rights management? Is actually, encryption and rights management is just an attribute of the classification and labeling taxonomy.
Got it.
And from a deployment point of view, I think the thing we most underestimated was the business change of, do you have a taxonomy? Like, what are the words, the phrases, and the rules around how you group together clumps of information? And then the change management for users. Because you've gone from, to Gagan's point, oh, there's an intranet site with a PDF document that says I'm supposed to do some stuff, to, I've now got a plugin inside Office, which is what AOP is, that's telling me what to do. Users need training on that. They need to know, oh, it's going to tell you to do this, or you need to click this button, whatever it might be. And getting customers to define the taxonomy is a fascinating process, because the very first question I used to ask was, who owns that taxonomy? like literally either the role or the name of the person that's going to say that is correct for our business. That's really hard to figure out in a big organization. Is it the CISO? Is it the CIO? We've got these new chief data protection officers. There was all sorts
right.
of
well,
people.
Well, and I bet legal probably even comes
yes.
into play there,
oh, yes.
too, with
HR,
the legal,
legal
department
finance.
Has their...
Yeah,
it was fascinating.
When we deployed this product at Microsoft, we had to work with... There was a village. Like, we were just the builders of the product. But I still remember we had the legal team, we had our CISO, we had the compliance guys, we had everybody coming together to say, oh, by the way, this was also the time of education at Microsoft, because we moved away from an old taxonomy, which was HBI, high business impact, MBI, medium business impact, and LBI, low business impact,
okay,
to this new word of highly confidential, public, general.
Got it. Well, and it's probably kind of taking all those departments and trying to figure out, every department has a different label for the same type of document, and trying to figure out what that
a
central label is that everybody can use.
It's that balance between a generalized taxonomy where, you know, you could, on one hand, you could argue HR, legal, and finance have their own special ones.
Uh-huh.
But then inversely, you can actually argue, well, they're special, but they're not different. And so highly confidential to HR, is it really different to highly confidential for legal? It could be. And in some customers, they do have different taxonomies for that. But at Microsoft, we made the call, which is actually highly confidential is highly confidential to Microsoft, the business. It doesn't matter if you're a legal expert, an HR expert, a mergers and acquisition person. Highly confidential is highly confidential.
Got it.
Everyone is always looking to save time in their day, just like moving to the cloud can save you from the mundane tasks of patching, updating, and maintaining servers. Sanebox can save you from the mundane and time-consuming task of managing your email. Sanebox works with your existing email configuration to make your mailbox awesome. It may be using Sane Black Hole to avoid mailing and cold sales emails, or Sane Reminders to automatically remind you when you need to follow up on an email. You can even snooze an email, just like that pesky alarm clock in the morning, to defer or to de-emphasize an email that doesn't need your immediate attention. So what are you waiting for? There's nothing to install, nothing to learn. Just go to sanebox.com/allthings. That's sanebox.com/allthings to get 2 weeks free and a $25 credit.
I can imagine HR thinking like highly confidential is it doesn't leave the HR department.
Correct.
It's about other employees.
Yes.
Where highly confidential for IT, maybe it doesn't leave the company because it's just about network infrastructure or servers or URLs or something like that.
And the learning is that the outcome is no different in any of the scenarios you just said. Like the rules of it can't leave HR versus it can't leave the company, the actual implementation is the exact same thing. All you're talking about is a scope, as we think about it.
Okay.
Which is actually an authorization question, which is, oh, if I'm not in the right group, then I can't open the document. But the label of highly confidential is the same.
It's still the same. Okay.
And so this took a long time to work.
And that's actually what Alan just brought up is the funniest thing, which is when we launched it at Ignite 2016, over the next year, over the next year or two, our deployments were slower because we were making a change in the way people think about data protection. And we ended up building a bunch of new functionality, including scope labels.
Okay.
This idea that you can scope the labels to a certain set of people, and when you scope the label to those people, nobody else can open these documents. We also ended up building a new set of products, things like AIP Scanner, which was, because when it went to customers and they said, hey, go label the documents yourself, users will do this. But they're like, hey, I have this terabyte of data sitting on this file server. What am I going to do about it? Or I have my data now going into multiple different clouds, in Box or Dropbox or SharePoint, and what are you going to do about it? And that's where we started thinking about what we have built from just a product to a product and a platform.
Okay.
And that's where we started. So we built two sets of things. We started building the product. So AIP Client continued to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
AIP Scanner came into picture.
And that AIP Scanner sits on a server then and scans other external data sources and auto-classifies those files, right?
Think about it as a scaled version of opening every single document. Like, you've got this old file server or SharePoint server or whatever it might be, and there's data everywhere. If you don't go and touch it, you can never label it. And so that was another fascinating learning for me, which was like, we thought, well, a customer's just going to scan it as it's touched. That is actually some deployment models that customers have done. Other ones are like, I want to scan every document in the environment, no matter where it is and no matter how old it is, like touch everything. That in itself was kind of fun because now you're looking at, well, is that going to pull it out of cold storage? Is that going to change the archival date? Like, when you touch a document, it has a technical impact.
Right. Well, I think of it like, again, coming from the SharePoint search. Every time SharePoint search crawled, it was essentially a view of that document in SharePoint. So was
the action of labeling. The scanner quite literally opens and looks at the content of every single file one by one. That's literally what it does.
And if it's adding metadata, it's probably actually modifying the document too, which gets into modification dates.
The amount of engineering we had to do to get this right was mind-boggling.
It sounds really simple, but when you actually start messing with that stuff, and then think about tiered storage, then think about retention policies, archival policies, blah, 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 blah. The list went on.
Where it's actually pulling them out, because some of those, when you have your tiered storage, all of a sudden it has to move to the hot storage or warm storage when you touch it, and wow.
Absolutely. and this was also the time we started thinking, so we kept building the product, AIP client, AIP scanner, but we also started thinking about it as a platform. Because it was very clear to us that this journey is the next part of this journey is building the platform, SDKs, graph APIs, to do classification, automated classification, labeling, protection, encryption, and DLP, so that we can build it into everything that we've got at Microsoft and non-Microsoft products. So this is where we knew we had to build it into Office apps natively, in Office on Mac, on iOS, on Android, on Windows, on Outlook, on all platforms. We had to build it into SharePoint, into Exchange, online. We had to build it into Teams. We had to build it into Power BI. We had to build it into everywhere you can imagine. And that took some time for us because, you know, we are product people. We like to kind of own our destiny. But suddenly we started figuring out that we have to call it something else. We can't call it AIP. It narrows the scope.
Okay.
So internally, and Adam and I worked on this a bunch before he left to the dark side of marketing, we started calling it MIP, or Microsoft Information Protection.
Okay.
This idea that we can take it everywhere. So that was part one. And not just Microsoft services, the third parties as well. So we started building this platform that will work equally well for first-party apps and services and will equally work on third-party apps and services. And this was one of the sea change. And over the last couple of years now, we have been, while the product name to the industry, to the customers, has still been AIP, because that was the one thing that was in the market.
Yep.
Internally, we had completely shifted over to calling it MIP last year.
Okay.
And that's where, I guess, some confusion, some deliberations on how customers look at AIP versus MIP, and as if they're two different things. We look at MIP or Microsoft Information Protection as this motion of bringing data protection to all Microsoft and non-Microsoft products. And then MIP just happens to be that platform that allows you to do that.
Okay. So is that what we're going to start seeing then kind of in the coming years, is all these other IRM, AIP, RMS, Azure RMS, all of those starting to fade away, and it's just going to kind of all turn into this Microsoft Information Protection?
Yeah, I think the way I'd think about it is we've already made that shift in our own minds. And whilst there'll be legacy code and docs and, you know,
the
AD RMS still exists in some customers, even though we stopped working on that a long time ago. We have a 10-year support model, and so that's what'll happen. But yes, we refer to the collection of things that do information protection in its grandest sense. That's Microsoft Information Protection. And that encompasses, well, yes, there is a down-level client called AIP. It's a plugin, and you deploy it to, oh, here's native experiences in SharePoint, Exchange, Teams, Power BI, Office on all platforms, as well as this SDK for Adobe and CAD and all those kind of things.
Right, because Adobe Reader just started having the native integration. I think I saw, was it in the last several months, maybe?
Yeah, so
six, 7 months or something?
Yeah, we shipped GA on the one on Windows last year. We shipped the GA of Mac this year, and they've been great partners to us. What we shipped recently, I mean, this Ignite, we announced that the Edge Chromium, the new Edge that we have shipped, also can open labeled and protected PDFs.
Oh, interesting. I missed that in the announcements. I'm trying to siphon through all of the announcements.
Yeah, so that was a huge thing for us because it was basically done for two reasons. You know, Adobe, a lot of our enterprise customers are Adobe customers, right? So they're good to go already. They have one on Windows, they have it on Mac, they have it on iOS. But a lot of our customers don't have Adobe in the company, and we have to support them. As well, we support Office files, we have to support PDF files. So that was one of the big announcements that we made, is that the Edge Chromium in public preview now supports opening protected PDFs.
Okay, very cool.
So that was one. And the other big thing for us was, as we were building this, like, like Adam mentioned, the idea of building labels natively, that's part of our MIP journey. We can't think about it as Office information protection. Then we thought about Microsoft information protection. So Edge is an example of what I just said. Power BI is an example of what I just said. So one of the things we shipped is that you can go to a Power BI dashboard and you can label the dashboard as highly confidential.
Okay.
And now when you download the file, when you export data into a PDF or into an Excel sheet or PowerPoint, we will make sure that it comes out encrypted.
Got it. So the label will come with that export from Power BI into the Office document.
So now you're starting to see the true colors of what we're trying to build with MIP. This idea that you can take the classification, labeling, and protection technology, the platform, everywhere. We have more than 50 ISVs who have integrated with us. And you can look at them and you say, oh, wow, how would a Symantec integrate with you? Or how about McAfee? Or how about why? Because we have competing products inside, but we don't look at it that way. We look at it as MIP as the foundation for what customer wants, whether they use a Microsoft product to enable classification, labeling, and protection, or they use another product to do that. We want to make sure that the users and the customer get the best from Microsoft in terms of the technology.
Okay.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
So one other question I have that I've started playing with is unified labeling. Your labels in Azure versus your labels in Microsoft 365. And it appears that there's also, from what I've seen in playing with it, there's different policies in Azure than there are policies in Microsoft 365. So you have the same labels that are kind of synchronized, but two different policies.
Yeah, that's going away.
That's going away.
Temporary situation. Well,
that's a temporary...
Absolutely.
Okay.
We, starting this Ignite, we are on a mission to move or to transition all our customers from AIP portal to M365 Compliance Center.
Okay.
The goal is that by January, all our functionality in the AIP portal will be replicated, in lack of a better word, in the M365 Compliance Center.
Okay.
And at that point, we will actually deprecate the AIP portal.
Got it.
And we would ask every customer to transition back to the M365 Compliance Center, because everything I just talked about, for example, Power BI, Edge, SharePoint, Exchange, all of that can only work if you are on the M365 Compliance Center.
Got it.
Not only would we give our customers the ability to do migrate labels, but as of this week, we have also enabled them to migrate their policies too.
Oh, nice. I missed that one too.
Yeah,
time to go catch up on some news. Or so, I just need to sit here and talk to you guys longer.
And the unified labeling is, there's the MIP side, but it's also bringing in the information governance side. And
okay.
So think about a continuum of how interesting is the data, I'm going to label it, I'm going to put attributes on it like protection.
Yep.
But then at the end of the life cycle, now what happens? Is there a retention policy, an archival policy, a legal hold, whatever it might be? You then flip over to the governance side of things and continue on that journey of now what happens when I no longer touch that document.
Got it.
Or that email message. And so the unified portal not only unifies all the MIP side, it also brings in the compliance and governance side as well.
Okay.
And that's what, to me, that's what's more interesting about the unified story is, yes, we moved it to a new portal and that's great. It lets us do so much more once it gets there.
Right, because now you're managing that whole document lifecycle, all the way from it's created and it's classified and protected all the way to we can go ahead and delete it, or it's on a legal hold, or we need to retain it for
that's
X number
right.
of years.
So two important things for the listeners, right? One is that no, AIP is not going away. AIP is transitioning to MIP, Microsoft Information Protection. So that's one big message. And the second big message is that we are unifying stuff behind the scenes. we have unified all our classification engines, in one in Office, one in AIP as it used to be, one in MCAS, our CASB, into one classification engine. We had multiple labeling schemes on Office or Azure and Windows. We merged them into one.
Okay.
And we'll be on this journey for a couple more years.
Yep. I was going to say, this is not one of those things. It's probably a challenge for you when you iterate so fast, like you do in Microsoft 365. Merging some of these technologies is not a small feat. So it's like, how do we tackle these steps? Like the unified labels, we have to unify this and keep iterating quickly. And you end up with kind of some weirdness, I feel like, sometimes in that path.
and we have now, I think at this point, we are battle tested. And this is what the big message that we have, which is we want everybody, if you like what we have built, natively in Office apps, automated classification, SharePoint integrations, Power BI, Edge.
Mobile clients.
All clients. web clients.
Yep.
Third-party ecosystem that we have created. You have to transition to MIP, which is the M65 Compliance Center. And once you do that, you can use everything. And we really hope that over a period of time, it's going to take some time. I know it's going to take a few years. But the RMS and IRM and even AIP should just let itself be. And we all talk about this one thing called MIP.
All right.
And then the fun thing you can do is, as you look forward, we showed in the tech keynote a glimpse of what the machine learning languages look like and so on. And so moving from human-driven definitions of I'm looking for a word, a phrase, something that matches a regular expression, to content types. Show me all my job descriptions. Show me all my specs. Show me all my sales documents. That's the machine learning language. And when you move to this unified portal, adopt all the newer stuff, now you can go scan and look for those in a far more intelligent way. And so there's lots more coming there. And so that's really the stick is getting off Azure and moving to the M365 portal. But the carrot is you're going to be able to do so much more in a much more intelligent way.
All right. Very cool. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate both of your time. It was a pleasure talking to you guys, and hopefully it helped bring a lot of clarification. For me, it kind of helped see where all these different acronyms and product names and all that came from and kind of where they're all coming together at the end. So anything else you want the listeners to know about, where they can go find more? We'll put a bunch of links to all this stuff, to some of the announcements and articles in the show notes, but anything else you want kind of people to come away with from all of this?
No, I think that you covered it very well. I think the key here is, if you are a new customer, just think MIP. That's the only thing we want you to think about. If you're an existing customer who has deployed AIP, then start thinking MIP now.
All right.
Yeah, get to the Unified Label Store and start testing, deploying things like Office Pro Plus, the latest versions of Windows, because they are going to be the end point that actually allow you to apply this. And so getting to Windows 10, getting to Office Pro Plus, those are large deployments that take a lot of time. So get in and start working through this, and then you'll see all this new native goodness that Gagan's talking about, of like, that's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow kind of thing. Get on that.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Adam. Thanks, Gagan. Appreciate both your time, and maybe we'll talk to you again in a future episode as you continue along this path.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.